The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. Here we are again, 21 hours later, and we are hoping to talk to one of the survivors, a wounded survivor of the massacre in Las Vegas, Billy Williams. He is, we are in contact with him. We hope to bring him on next hour. He's very busy with family and so forth, but he wants to do it, so we're going to try and call him in 60 minutes. In the meantime, we're going to have his uncle on in about 10 minutes, Brand, and Brand has been on the program once before. There's just so much going on, and I've looked at CNN, Fox, and the others. I don't see any stories about Las Vegas in there. All I see now are DNC, Hillary Clinton, the Russia dossier, just crap, nothing important. Las Vegas remains, and will always be, in our lifetimes anyway, one of the most important and tragic and outrageous events, like 9/11, that we have been through, and yet nothing on the mainstream media platforms. Why am I not surprised? And I'm sure you aren't either. Now, I've got a story that's being posted momentarily at the top of the homepage coverage and at the top of headlines. And it's simply entitled, Exposed, Las Vegas Shooter at Ground Level. Now, this comes from the video that a fellow named Joe put up, and I've got a link to the video at the top of the page. It should be posted momentarily, and when it's up there, we're all going to go through it together, because I want you to look at this. It is, it's really something. I don't know how these things can happen, but when you think about the random nature of people turning their cameras around and upside down and this way and that and running with them, it's amazing we got much of anything, but we did. And couple that to the fact that the feds came in and literally confiscated every smartphone, cell phone, notebook, laptop that they could from all the survivors and literally downloaded everything, scrubbed the hard drives, and then gave them back. So there's a ton of video evidence out there that we'll never see. It's gone. As usual, with many of these crises, the best information emerges in the first day. And that's when we saw and got written reports from people who were there and who were able to post. We do know that the feds have gone around and threatened and intimidated everyone. Unfortunately, but understandably, the hotel casino industry has threatened, politely, I'm sure, to all their employees. Nothing happened. You're not to talk about this with any of the guests. We need to get past this. So we're not going to get a whole heck of a lot of information from this point on. I think there will be more videos that come out, like the one I'm alluding to now, that gave us the chance to go through it. And what I did is I went through it and pulled freeze frames. And we're going to walk through this video and look at some very interesting material. Standing by in Las Vegas is Gary Holland, who has been such a magnificent contributor to this whole coverage effort over the last month. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going this evening, Jeff?
Good, good. I'm hoping we get Billy on the program. We're going to call him in an hour and try again. In the meantime, we'll have his uncle on in a few minutes to talk about that as well. You know, one of the things that people just can't quite grasp, and I'm talking about the great masses of people, and I don't blame them for a minute, but they can't understand the level of sophistication that this massacre employed. This was planned and planned and planned again. Multiple teams of shooters, probably two men to a team. You're an ex-Marine, having served in Africa and the Middle East, as most of our listeners know. But this was something that was planned. How far back would something like this go? 6 months?
6 months to a year. Something like this. First of all, it would have been probably around the time frame when they announced they were going to have this concert. So whenever that was, the planning probably went right in effect right after that. Like something like this, this is something you just don't throw together a couple of months. You know, it takes a couple of months and you just throw it together real fast. This is a very strategically planned assault. If you just by the amount of shooters, the way they hit at the crowd, the way they were hitting other casinos around the strip, then if the reports are correct that other Metro cops off the record have been saying it was a citywide attack, this was a very coordinated effort, centrally planned, which more than likely you have a central hub where they were actually running the operation as it was going on.
Right.
So you got to understand, there's a lot of sophistication involved in this. And this whole operation,
right,
from top to bottom.
Right. I did mention Billy. I said Billy Williams. We were talking about using an alias, but he wanted to use his name, which is Billy King, as many of you already know. So we are going to call Billy at the top of the hour in about 45 minutes and hope to get him on next hour. This issue of people saying nobody was shot, nobody was injured, nobody died. No bullets were fired. What you heard in those recordings, and we've covered this with Gary, were just recordings. This is so offensive to any fair-minded human being. And yes, I understand there are always quirks and unusual happenings in events like these. But this is one of those things where you have to look at it for what it was. And what it was is what it looked like. Exactly. There's a lot more to it we don't know yet, but we've got a real good handle on it. When you understand, as we discussed the other night, Gary and I, that Las Vegas is economically in grievous trouble, the last thing in the world they would ever go along with is something like this in terms of a drill, in terms of some kind of an operation that was a mixture, as some people are saying, of crisis actors and real victims. This is crazy. Crazy talk. Just crazy talk. It is what it was, and occasionally we find things in life that are as they seem, and this is one of them.
Like I explained last night, if you're going to do a false flag, you know, I mean, like a staged false flag, what some people are claiming, where they're using speakers, sound, and sound stage equipment, and all these ridiculous things. First of all, you would need a more controlled area. Again, you got to understand, it was such a wide area. You could not control it. So if you even were attempting to do something like that, there would be distortion coming from one end. It would sound ridiculous. It just wouldn't look. If you want to, if you just do any YouTube search and look where they do these director cuts of these certain movies and where they show how they set up these outdoor scenes in a movie.
Right.
And you look at how controlled the environment is, just setting up a movie or any type of live action scene out in the open. It's not as easy. They make it sound like it's just some people set up some PA systems, running around with bags of fake blood It's, you know, I did a search last night, and I wanted to see, you know, what they use. You know, they use these explosive things. They're called blood packs. And when you know, when you see these fight scenes,
sure,
where they shoot at each other at a,
yeah,
TV show or in a movie, they actually use these. They're kind of like in a little, like, explosive. They are. That's what they are. They're a little charge, and the blank goes off, and simultaneously pop, it makes it look like you were hit by a bullet, and the blood splatters.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But you know the setup time for just something like that? It takes an hour to 2 hours of setup to set the actual prop or where the blood, you know, the actual blood.
And rehearse with the actor and all that. Oh, sure. And get,
exactly,
the camera angles right.
And you have stuntmen, and you have to have stuntmen do this. Look, first of all, if they were going to have people with blood and pretend they're getting shot, blah, 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 first of all, you get in there and there's actual some live fire, what they were trying to say, and it was fake bullets and this and that. First of all, you weren't going to be getting people, a bunch of extras from Craigslist. Okay, you're going to use professional stuntmen on a lot of these, because a lot of this is FX, you know, special effects.
Sure.
This is FX, yeah, guys doing this. And you're going to have, like, you know, you have to have special people who, stuntmen, that what, this is all they do. And, you know, I would just love to ask a few stuntmen around Hollywood, say, you know, do you think that Las Vegas shooting was a setup,
yeah,
job, and that was just
point,
basically fake shooting and blah, blah, blah? And you would get their opinion on it. And I guarantee you, I could tell you what their opinion would be. They'd,
yeah,
laugh and say it was ridiculous, because you couldn't possibly, the what they're trying to say, how is that? Because, first of all, the equipment would have to be a scene. You know, because you have to understand what they're saying on this. They're saying it was fake bullets, fake this, fake that. But everything that was fake, by the way, was under cloak of, and it was in hiding. So you couldn't see any of this stuff even. So the PAs were hidden. When people running around with the fake blood was hidden. And you know,
yeah, and you got 22,000.
Doesn't make any sense.
22,000 human beings that have to react and respond to this in some reasonably predictable fashion. It's all, look, we got to just stop talking about this. It's not really worth our time. Here's a story, and I just looked at Fox. There's no mention of Las Vegas anywhere in there. Nothing. But there's a story here that does merit attention. I'll post it later. Could dozens of American ISIS fighters slip back into the U.S.? Now, this is an important story. The answer is obviously yes. They're slipping back into all the Western countries that they've been allowed to or pushed into by Soros and company. They're going and coming. They're going out and doing this, coming back and visiting their family and friends. It's crazy what's going on. So this is an important story. Just remember, in the Mandalay Bay, 120, give or take, Muslims were working. In Las Vegas, approximately 11,000 Muslims live and work, if they work at all. Most of them are on welfare, as we know. So you've got a base there. Now, I'm not saying that these were vacuumed up killer scum from the Middle East brought over here and turned loose to shoot these people. No, it had to be somebody or a group of people highly trained. Yes, Gary?
Oh, definitely. The people that actually are in that primary, like I said, the primary team, they're a highly skilled professional. They evaded detection. Yeah, you noticed that one video where the man was on top of the trailer. But these guys are very good. They're not easy to spot. You wouldn't see them hardly. They're like ghosts. And they went in, did what they had to do, and they were out, and they were taken out, and
they were,
that was it.
They were gone. Now,
I would say within 45 minutes from beginning of shooting to being, you know, going, my opinion was they went through Janet Air and they were extracted, either held down and just battened down their hatches for a few hours till McCarran Airport reopened, which, by the way, no one ever questions why was McCarran Airport closed for 2 and 3 hours. No one still can answer that to me, because if it was just a local area, which is Mandalay Bay, if it was such as, and they knew within a few hours, suppose they had already, well, if you look at the timeline, SWAT already knew, supposedly at 11:22, they actually encroached into the room already. Okay, so they already got into the room.
Right.
Within an hour before that, they already knew it was supposedly coming from one room. So why the order to shut down McCarran Airport, all incoming and outgoing flights into McCarran and outgoing, and no one will ever answer. No one still can answer that question.
Well, the only thing I can offer that might answer part of that, or at least give us an idea, is that the police were reporting gunfire or shots around gate 14. I don't know what that means, but I did hear that.
Yeah, and so, well, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but the official story, if you go off the, what I'm saying, okay, let me explain myself a little bit. If you're going off the official story according to what they're telling the mainstream media, they give no reason why McCarran was closed down. Now, you would close McCarran down if there was shooting coming from gate 14.
That's right.
Or various gates in the airport through the terminals. Surrounding area near the runways, you know, in that type of area.
Anything on airport property or related to it could have shut it down, of course. Absolutely. Let's check in and see if Brand Thornton is there. Brand, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome back. Say hello to Gary Holland, who's with me tonight.
Hey, Gary. So you're a resident of Las Vegas also, huh?
Yes, I am.
Well, someday I hope to get to meet you.
Sure, I'd love to.
Brand's the uncle of Billy King. His nephew was one of the luckiest people on the planet to survive being shot through the back and out the front. And it's an amazing story. Tell us, we hope to get Billy on next hour, Brand. He might be available then. We're working on it. Thank you for your efforts, too. But tell us about Billy King's injuries. Now, I know people just don't believe this, but it's true. And I have pictures of the exit wound in the front of his chest up on the homepage. He was kind enough to let the media take a look at that. Tell us where he was shot and what he was doing again. This is really amazing because it's going to plug into what we're going to look at a little bit later, and that's evidence of ground-level shooters. Okay, tell us more about Billy.
It is an amazing shot to, you know, pretty much go through his complete chest cavity without hitting any vital organs or bone. But he was... they had been going away from Mandalay Bay, which was west of them, and they were going east. And
they were running. He and his wife.
Initially they were running, and but there were shots coming from everywhere, and so he threw her down and got on top of her, and you know, but nothing was. Things were just getting worse. So he finally decided, okay, well, let's just get up and just run and just keep running. And as he was getting up, kind of an extended push-up position, I would say approximately a 30-degree angle, he was hit. It went just above his left kidney and just below his rib cage. It traveled between his lung and his rib cage. Barely missed his aorta and exited out his upper left chest. So it is. It's an amazing shot. But, you know, this new evidence that you're talking about, I have also had the opportunity to look at it. And that would line up pretty darn close. Now the angle from what you're talking, that video you're going to go over, that lines up pretty close, if not exact, from the angle that he would have been shot at. If you take into Mandalay Bay, and I've gone over this, and I actually went over it quite extensively with Gary Hunt, if you know who he is. Mm-hmm. He says it's a 17-degree angle. I'm going to say it's a 19-degree angle coming from Mandalay Bay on the 32nd floor. What people got to realize is those floors actually sit on the casino lobby on top of it. So you got, and then there's some other stuff in there. You got to throw about 60 more feet up there. So you're really close to 380 feet. That would not work. That simply would not work. You'd have 2 to 3 inches, offset from the entry wound to the exit wound had he been shot from that elevated position in Mandalay Bay.
So it's you figured it's 360 feet high, thereabouts.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
And now it's approximately 1,100 feet to this to the stage, and I'm not even 100% sure what they say from the stage. Okay, so you can add on, you know, maybe another 100 feet or so from where he was. So those are two opposing angles.
Right,
and
sure.
It just doesn't work out. However, you know, if there was somebody that was on ground level or close to ground level, that would work out. So anyhow, he gets hit. There's a blood spray comes out of his chest, goes over his wife's face, which the bullet had to have just barely missed her head. And so he throws his hand. Now he's determined to get out of there at any cost. They know they're just in a bad situation. He puts his hand over his chest, and they just take off running. Kimberly's on his left-hand side, and there's another gal on her left-hand side. Kimberly turns just at the instant this lady takes a bullet in the face, and she drops dead instantly. William wants to help her. He stops. Here he's been hit, and he wants to help this lady. And it was Kimberly just repeatedly said to him, "She's dead. She's dead. There's nothing you can do. Let's just go." And they just continued to run till they were able to get out of there, and just kept running. And then I'm trying to remember.
Let me ask you a quick question, Brandt.
Sure.
The bullet that killed the woman next to his wife came from the east, because I believe they're running east.
Yes, they're running east towards Reno Street. Mm-hmm. And the bullet came from the east and hit her in the face. And I nailed that down with Kimberly. I said, "Kimberly, this is really, really important. You saw her get shot in the face while you were running east." She goes, "Absolutely." And I said, "Did you see any blood on the back of her head? Because I'm still kind of fishing. Maybe she got shot from the back and it came out her face."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "No, there's no blood on the back of her head. And she was blonde." And so Kimberly knew where I was going with these leading questions.
Mm-hmm.
So she was absolutely convinced that she was shot from somebody that was positioned east of that area.
Right. Okay. All right, now that makes perfect sense.
So they were running towards Reno Avenue, right? So that would be towards Tropicana, northeast. I'm getting, because the position is, Reno Avenue would be kind of like behind, you know, because that street behind her is Giles Street,
yeah.
And then it turns into Reno Avenue.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're running, they're basically running toward the Trop, okay?
Towards Hooters, Trop Hooters, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right, well that's critically important. Now, let me ask a question. And Gary is really the man to ask about this. He's on the ground trying to protect his wife, and he's in a partial push-up position, starting to get up off of her, and the bullet hits him, as you heard. Now, this bullet travels, I don't know, what, how many feet do we figure? 1,000 feet?
Yeah, it would have been, if they say it's 1,100 feet from my research.
Okay, 1,000 feet from if it came from the 32nd floor, it's an impossible angle. It can't happen. How much impact would a 223 round at 1,100 feet from 100 yards up in the air have if it hit somebody?
Well, I believe it was a full metal jacket, and it was not a ricochet. The exit wound and the entry wound are really close to the same size. Now, at, say, 300 feet, 300 yards, or even 400 yards, 55-grain bullet, 223 has lost a tremendous amount of energy, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure it was a 223. If you look at that exit wound, that looks more like 30 caliber, but nobody's recovered the bullet. The FBI didn't even ask where he was when he got shot. So I think they never will know the absolute truth. The other thing is, it's a direct line. It didn't deviate. It didn't, tumble.
Didn't spin, didn't tumble. Right, yeah.
It just a perfect line from entrance to exit wound also.
That would suggest
the velocity.
Gary,
it
would
sounds like the velocity it went in. First of all, if it was a 228, you're talking kind of like a 22 round that actually travels and bounces off bones and goes through the body. Since it was sounded to me, it went in. It was basically an in and out, clear, straight through. That would more than likely be either a 5.56 or a 7.62, and that would, and especially it would have to be in within close range to have that much velocity.
That was my point. That's right. That's the whole point of this.
Clean, clear through. Because if and I think Brent just said it, his wife almost got hit in the head with that same round, and so whizzed by her head. So you're talking pretty good velocity, and that's a close. That would be definitely a close up shot. That's where it'd be ground level.
Well, that's why I asked.
And the other angle, you said he was like in a push up position. So we're talking. The entry sounded like it went from, it entered lower, and then when it came out, went exited high, like upper. So like the angle would be like on an upward.
It had to be an almost.
Angle.
It had to almost be a flat trajectory to have performed as it did. It just cannot have come down from above. No way.
No, it would have had to have been ground level, especially because, like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant, if I heard you right, you said it entered his back, and then it went up and through, like, near his kidney area, and then came out through the chest area. So we're talking basically up, the bullet entered and came out upwardly, not downwardly.
That's correct.
So coming from the 32nd floor, that would have entered the back through the top of the back, and when it entered, you know, exited through the stomach area. But what you're talking is it entered through the lower back area and exited in the upper chest area, which would show that it was coming from the ground at a high velocity, by the way. Again, it's a high velocity round.
Yeah.
It wasn't a 22 round. That was definitely a 5.56 or a 7.62 round.
Right. And it's below his collarbone on his chest is where it comes out. And it did look like a 38. My guess is that he was shot from probably no more than a couple hundred feet away. For the bullet to pass that quickly right through him.
Yeah.
Gary, that makes sense, Gary?
About under 200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brand, go ahead.
Three people that were there, including Kimberly and William, and then I have another nephew whose wife works for La Mandalay Bay as a bartender, was working the concert that night. All three of them said there were shots coming from everywhere. In fact, William told me, I swear to God, there were shooters everywhere.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. If you look at that video I have up there now, I've got the story posted. It's up there as well. We'll go through that a little later, but there's no question that this was a shooting gallery. These people were surrounded. There were literally shooters on probably all four sides of them. They didn't have a chance. And we think, Brand, Gary and I have discussed this, and you probably have your own thoughts, but we don't buy the 58 dead. That figure stabilized, I think, within 24 hours. We're thinking there could at least be 200 people dead, easy. That was a slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Very possible.
What else has Gary been, Billy been saying to you, Brand, about this that we haven't touched upon yet? How did he characterize the crowd and this poor woman who was instantly killed, just dropped dead? Were there people going down all around them when they were running? Does he remember anything like that?
There was people dropping everywhere. And I will say, William, at this time, William's always been a very sensitive boy. Okay, he could hardly kill a fly. and this has traumatized him immensely.
Right.
So I have not, I've given him a lot of room, haven't pushed him and talked to him, but there's more and more talk amongst the employees of all these casinos that are involved, especially the Mandalay Bay. But there's nothing that, I don't see a whole lot of new stuff except for the video that you're talking about, because I have seen it. But there is a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. And these employees all know, that the narrative, the official narrative, is BS. They all know it. So,
back
to your question.
I was told that the day after by a source I have who used to work in the Mandalay, and has a lot of friends there. He said, everybody knows, multiple shooters. Don't buy into anything else. That was the day after. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I still getting a few phone calls, a few texts here and there. And my impression is the talk has gone through the roof. They're not buying the story. And a lot of people are trying to figure out, you know, exactly who is involved and what's going on. Again, you have law enforcement with part-time as security in a lot of these casinos. And I think that's a real plus. Because they're doing a lot of talking with the other employees, and they're the ones more than anybody that's telling them everything the official narrative is BS. They're not buying anything Lombardo's saying. So people are waking up. I don't know. The only thing I can say about mainstream media is, you know, they're just going to toe the line. They're going to shut up. They're not going to say anything because the FBI, I am 1,000% convinced. The deep state, whatever you want to call them, FBI, CIA, they're up to it in their eyeballs. And so they're probably put the word out, we don't want you even talking about this.
Up to it in their eyeballs. That's exactly what Gary has been postulating from the beginning, that this was done at a very high level. And we've named it. We've talked about it. He's named it.
We could safely say that Sheriff Lombardo is basically Andy of Mayberry at this point. He's got Barney Fife. These guys are very. Look. He's basically way over his head. He probably got involved with something he didn't realize was going to get this bad. Who knows? You know what he's thinking at this point. They refuse to do news conferences anymore. And you can forget 3, 5, 8, and 13. They're jokers. They're not going to tell you nothing. It's move on to something new now. I'm telling you, you can look at any local news here and you'll be lucky if you hear one story about the shooting anymore. It's move on and look the other way. Do it quickly. The RJ, same thing. Review Journal is just rag sheet garbage. They have one story that I sent to Jeff today and it was about, well, the Tropicana lost a lot of reservations due to the shooting. And, you know, they just said the Tropicana. But I said, you could apply that to any casino name here in town. And I'm sure tons have. Right. I mean, you know, Brad, you live here in town. You know yourself. You look at a Friday night. Well, look at this weekend particularly. Halloween weekend, Nevada Day is tomorrow. So it's a holiday tomorrow here. And you look at what comes in from California this weekend. You won't see hardly any cars at all coming in from California. It's a bad town. Yeah. It's a dead town at this point.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think it's a concerted effort by the casinos, by law enforcement in the deep state, just to bury the whole thing for multiple reasons, economic being one. And, of course, they don't want anything leading back to the FBI or the CIA. So, you know, all around, they're just trying to shut it down. Now, I got another son that works in the casino industry, and he says the same thing. He said it's just really, really getting slow. There's also rumor they're going to be putting together a bunch of vacation packages for people around the world to get them back out.
Well, they're going to have to, and I suggest that they may even end up offering free airfare to people from major gateway cities.
Oh, I'm hearing free airfare and
you are
$200 per person free and free meals and all kinds of
stuff.
They're
good at everything. But as Brand, I mean, if he, you know, he's been around this town for a long time. I've been around this town for, I'm sure you've been around this town for a long time. Tell me you can't go to any casino now and see how many people, you probably can count them on one hand, who's max betting on machines anymore. Now it used to be, hey, 10, 15 years ago, you'd see people $3 and $5 a hand max betting as far as the eye could see. You couldn't even find a seat in some of these casinos. And you go into all the different station casinos and all the just all different casinos around town, you couldn't find a seat, and they're all max betting. Nowadays, I go in Texas Station, I go in Fiesta over on, you know, down on Rancho, I go down to Boulder Station, I go to any station casino, it's a ghost town in there. And I'm talking on a Saturday night. No one's in there. The buffets are empty. People are alcoholics, you know, betting 10 cents a hand and trying to get fed drinks. You got other guys playing 50, 30 cents a hand. The sports book guy is empty. I mean, Monday night football, Sunday night, Sunday football, college football. I mean, you used to go in the sports books, you couldn't even find a seat. You go in there, now you got the pick of the front row. I mean, there's nobody.
How about this? How about this, Gary? Remember all the grocery stores? You couldn't even find a place to play video poker in a grocery store. Now there might be one person in that grocery store playing a poker machine.
And most of the time, it's the worker sitting there sleeping. I mean, you go to any of the Smiths, you go to all these different casinos, because, Jeff, here in town, all this, what Brand's saying is that all the supermarkets here in town have little mini slot, like little casino things. They're like these slot machines.
Right.
And 7-Elevens do, AMPMs, all the convenience stores, a lot of them. You go in there now, it used to be like you couldn't find a seat. There's always be people playing on the machines. Huh. There's nobody playing on these machines anymore. They're just not.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the that's the bread and butter of this town. And Brand can say, how many stories, Brand, have you heard? Well, Las Vegas is doing great because they don't need casino, they don't need machines and slot machines in the table. They don't need gaming anymore. They got nightclubs, and the people are coming here because they're going to spend tons of money on nightclubs and shows. Give me a break. That stuff was set up for comps. That's the machines is what makes the money. Because if the machines weren't the ones that they weren't interested in making money on anymore, the whole casino floor would turn in one show after another, and it'd be all nothing but fancy restaurants with fancy chefs working at them. But they're not doing that. They're suffering.
Speaking of restaurants, I had the story up, which showed the Gene and George Steakhouse, where Mr. Campos was supposedly given his award. And I think it was October the 10th he got the award, if I remember right. And 2 days later, we think, is when he actually taped the Ellen show in L.A. 2 days. So on the 10th, he supposedly gets this award from the security company that employed him. And he was working, of course, stationed at the Mandalay Bay. But 2 days later, he's in L.A. doing Ellen. Now, if you look at the pictures of him on the 10th, supposedly getting this award, first of all, it doesn't look like him. But secondly, and I think many of you remember this, the background in the dining room, one big long table, people on both sides of the table, the background, the walls, the decor, it's totally different than it is now. And I mean now, as of June, July, August, September, October, so it's almost 5 months. In June, the restaurant was remodeled. And we're seeing a picture of that dining room that bears no resemblance whatsoever to the photos that they're putting up showing Campos getting his award on the 10th. So that couldn't have happened. Plus, 2 days later, he's 40 pounds heavier and probably 3 inches shorter than the guy in the pictures who got the award. I mean, Gary, it's really stupid. I don't know where they found this guy. He's obviously a ringer. We'll never see him again. But you don't gain 40 pounds in 2 days and change your stature. The guy was definitely 2 or 3 inches shorter. He was just, anyway, not the same guy.
I gotta thank my own mother for this. I talked to her about it. She doesn't believe it. She said, if you're part of this investigation, the FBI, if this is an official investigation and we're to believe this official narrative, they would never allow him to leave the country for a few days. Now the story is, well, he had this vacation pre-planned. But even if it was pre-planned...
You're kidding. That's what they're saying? That's really stupid.
That's what they're saying. They're saying it was a pre-planned vacation. Now, he's supposedly been shot in the leg by 200 rounds, which that was a physically impossible. But let's say it was just for giggles. Let's say he was hit in the leg. He went on a plane, flew somewhere for his vacation, and then came back. And then still, when he gets to the Ellen show, he's like 3 inches shorter, about 500, at least 40, 50 pounds heavier, 3 inches shorter. You never see the guy's wound. He's just walking with a cane and with the prop cane.
Right. The guy that was with him was acting very much like a handler. I'm not saying he was, but he sure acted like it, kept petting him on the back and just patronizing him. And you're going to be okay, kid. Don't fall apart here. It was just showbiz. Showbiz. Yeah. Now, he supposedly, I've read this, went to Mexico and came back. That's where he allegedly went. Vacation or what? I don't know. But that's where they say he went. He went to Mexico, but he came back. I put the story up yesterday. It's all nutty.
The real Jose Campos, my opinion is he didn't go to Mexico. He took a one-way trip to the afterlife, and his fake friend, whatever that was, came in to replace. You know, like I said, they always say the dead men tell no tales.
No,
then he'll let this guy go fly to Mexico. Hey, come on.
Ain't going to happen.
I can understand they say he went away for the weekend in Palm Springs, but flew to Mexico? Come on, please. Because at that point, they wouldn't know if he, listen to this. At that point, we're talking these dates he supposedly flew on this vacation. The FBI, if they're doing a true investigation, they would not have enough time to do a background on this guy to see if he was actually involved or not. So if, you know, everyone's a suspect at the beginning, they're never going to allow you to leave the country. That would raise suspicions from everybody. They're like, wait a minute. This story is a fluent story. Your story's suspect beyond belief, but we're going to let you leave the country?
It doesn't work. Now, let me say something else. Gary went to Gene and George's steakhouse to check it out. I asked him if he'd go by and look in it because somebody was saying that, well, they just remodeled one of the banquet rooms. And that's the one in the picture that doesn't add up. And it's not an overlay to the one that shows him getting his award, allegedly, on October the 10th. So what happened? You went to Gene and George's. Did they let you look in the back rooms?
No. See, Gene and George's is at the Aria, okay?
Yeah.
So I went over to the Aria, and I wanted to talk to the host. I said, look, I'm going to be planning a birthday party. So I got a family member's coming in town, and we want to throw a special birthday party for a family member. And, you know, I want to see what you heard you had, rooms where your private, dining rooms where people could have a party of, up to 16 to 20 people. I said, this is going to be about 20, 22 people. I said, depending on a couple of people, if they can make it or not. And she goes, well, we can't let you see anything. I said, well, why? I said, is there, you have like a, maybe an assistant manager or a head chef that I could, talk to for a few minutes. And I had went in right at 5:30 because they're only open at night. They open at 5:30.
Uh-huh.
So it was really a little bit after 5:30. So they weren't too terribly busy. Matter of fact, they had maybe like one person in there that I could tell. They were sitting at the bar having a few drinks, maybe waiting for another guest to go have dinner with, whatever. So there was nobody there. It wasn't like they were packed and they were like, they were getting rushed. They weren't getting rushed. She goes, I'll have to take your name and phone number and email, and the event coordinator will email you when you can discuss your options and the reservation and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I've never received the email yet. And probably, if I do, they'll never let me do a walkthrough.
The bottom line is when they remodel a restaurant or any major club or night venue, they do the whole thing. They don't just do one room, one area. They'll do the whole thing. And the
Jeff, I've never seen a restaurant here in town do a remodel that does a half.
They don't do it.
No,
they don't do it. Plus, if you look
from beginning to end,
look at the pictures of the room before and after, whenever the before was. Maybe it was 2-3 years ago. I don't know. The lighting is the same. The same overhead lighting is there. So that didn't change. That's the same room. And I understand that some people say, well, maybe it's a different room. No, the angle was right. The same room, same positioning. It was remodeled. So that was not Campos on Ellen. Maybe Campos got an award 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know, but I think you may be right that he's in the afterlife now. They're not going to take a chance with this. Yeah. If that's true, that Jesus Campos was on that floor and saw what he saw, that guy, they would never let him out to flap his gums. No chance. He's the guy. He's got the answers. He could blow this whole thing open. They're not going to take chances with him. Brand, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that I really thought was odd, and Gary kind of hit upon it there, at the press conference, Lombardo would not allow this member of alternative media to call him a suspect. He shut her right down and said, no, he is a victim. He is a victim. And this is just a matter of a couple of days. Well, it was like Gary said, everybody's a suspect at first. And he shut her down so fast, said, no, he's a victim. He's a victim. And I thought that was very odd.
Yeah, well, he's a puppet on a string or several strings. And now, of course, they're having no more news conferences, no more press conferences, nothing. They've shut down. That's it, because they can't keep their stories straight. And I think many of you listening saw the new timeline. That's the fourth timeline, I think, that just makes it absurd. It makes it worse. They can't get it right because they're sitting on an untenable situation that is just almost impossible to demonstrate in an even remotely honest timeline. It just doesn't work. And Campos was in the hall. Now, who else knows? The people in security who were monitoring the hall. And yes, there are cameras in the halls. Let's get that straight. All right, Gary?
Yeah, they're in every hallway. Brand can confirm this. No casino has no every camera from every angle you could possibly imagine. And when that news conference, and I think it was one of the last news conferences they gave, and they said, well, there's no video of the hallway because there was no cameras in the hallway. That point, it got to the old say. I don't know if you ever heard the term when the TV show reaches its end. They call it jumping the shark. Well, that news conference jumped the shark. Because he jumped the shark, it was ridiculous. Because when you're saying they don't have no camera, it was starting to be Alice in Wonderland. And like I said, he looked like Andy of Mayberry. He just did. The FBI guy standing behind him, giving him that look, saying, talk a script. After you're done, get off stage, exit stage left, and shut up after that.
He
just was stammering, humming. And
oh, he was sweating. But, his emotions were showing. He was miserable.
Yeah. They, and like Brand said, no one was. He was quick to shut people down when the issue was brought up about Campos being a suspect.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think one of the questions was, why isn't he a suspect even? And they couldn't give a good answer. It was just, he's just not. He's a victim. Well, that's not a good answer. That's a stupid answer. You didn't give an explanation how you know he's the victim. You don't have no clue how. You don't know he's the victim. He got shot. By who, by what, and why. There's none of them questions have been answered. And the only thing they allow is a man that would be under a cloud of suspicion to go fly to Mexico, and supposedly for a planned vacation, conveniently.
Wow.
Do you understand the coincidence? There's so many. This is like the whole Las Vegas shooting incident. If you go to the official story, it's nothing but a bunch of coincidences all the time.
It's,
and I want you to believe them, that there is no such thing as a coincidence, and lightning keeps striking 1,000 times in one spot.
Yeah, and you're right, stupid. Andy and Mayberry and the Keystone Cops, it's all there. It's nutty. Fox News host Tucker Carlson dropped a huge new detail on the days following the deadliest mass shooting, blah, 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 and there's a video of it. The story, let me get back here. According to a document from a confidential source, Fox News' Tucker Carlson revealed that Mandalay Bay security guard Jesus Campos left the United States to go to Mexico just days after being an eyewitness to the Las Vegas mass shooting. Tucker Carlson said that he has... let me skip over that. All right. Tucker said he has a Customs and Border Patrol form that shows Jesus Campos entering the United States from Mexico at the San Ysidro border crossing in San Diego County almost exactly 1 week after the Las Vegas shooting. The document does not reveal how long Campos had been in Mexico. So it gets stupider all the time, frankly.
So they're saying he went by car on this vacation.
That's right.
Where, to Tijuana? You're crossing San Ysidro boarding crossing, and now, by the way, coming in, now we have no record of him going out.
No.
So
no.
Who was the one coming in and the one winding out, going out? There is no form for that.
Here's more.
The form would have been the morgue.
Here's more. Yeah. He continued, our source told us, this is Tucker talking, who I like, by the way, our source told us that Campos entered the United States at the same crossing in January this year. At that time, he was driving his own vehicle with Nevada plates. And yet, in this document, from a little over 2 weeks ago, Campos was driving what appears to be a rental car with California plates.
Oh, boy.
Carlson, yeah, see, it just gets nuttier. Carlson said, Jesus Campos is the only eyewitness to the biggest mass shooting, blah, blah, blah. At the time he was in Mexico, the press was reporting that investigators thought Paddock may have had an accomplice. Why did authorities allow him to leave the country just days after it occurred while the investigation was still chaotic? That's Tucker Carlson again talking. So, yeah, this thing has so many holes in it, it's worse than Swiss cheese. It's like a sponge. It's bad. It's bad. Anything, Brand, you want to add to this?
Well, it's so convoluted. I think that him going, when he went on the Ellen DeGeneres show, or DeGeneres.
You got it right the first time.
I think it just muddied the waters so bad that it would literally be impossible to really get to the bottom of it. And then one other thing is, did we change his last name to Compost? Because that's what it sounds like you're saying.
A lot of things grow from compost. Yeah, I kind of been using that interchangeably.
that's what I thought. I think really it's over with as far as any real investigation. I believe that Campos or whatever his name is, I think I think he's a dope liner, but he doesn't quite match up. I think the original Campos is gone. I think he's, like you said, he's a one-way ticket to the afterlife. And I think he actually was involved in helping. I've gone over and over those doors that they talked about. And see, in the first report, it was an emergency fire door. That's what I first heard. Okay? And, but that's not, it's a fire door to the stairwell, but it's not an emergency fire door. If you go to emergency fire door, it sets off alarm. And then the other thing that's so bizarre about it, he said it was opened up and stuck open with brackets. And I was like, okay, as many people that go up and down those things and in the hallways and stuff, somebody put brackets to hold the door open. That makes no sense at all.
Well, it was actually a bracket that was apparently screwed over the door and the door jammed to keep it shut. That he couldn't get in there from floor 31. He had to go back down. He had to go back down 31 hall and take the elevator up to 32. He walked all the way down the hall, right literally in front of Paddock's door, turned left, went into the stairwell, checked it, found the bar had been apparently screwed over the door jamb and the door so you couldn't open it, turned around, walked back out, headed back down the hall to leave. At that point, he was allegedly shot, got a John Wayne wound in the leg, which no one ever saw, nobody ever described, nothing. So there you go.
Yes.
Brand, we're going to say thank you, and we're going to call Billy, your nephew, again. Hopefully he'll be able to join us this next hour. If not, tell him we understand, and when he's ready, we're ready. So thank you for everything. As always, we appreciate it. All right. Good night.
Thank you. You bet. Uh-huh.
Okay, Brand Thornton. All right, Gary and I will be back in just a couple minutes. Hang on.